Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corndale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're continuing to recap the masculine journey.
We really wanted to land the plane and just kind of have some practical implications for what it looks like to be a man. And so I realize that if you're a gal, you know, you're like, oh man, here they are again. I've been listening to this podcast. There's 2 weeks in a row for men. I really want to encourage you to listen all the way through this podcast simply because you can be of great assistance here. And I think you got a lot to learn still. So Bob, a couple weeks ago on our men's retreat, you ended our retreat with just kind of, you landed 12 different things. And so we're going to walk through all 12 of those things. Where basically men just need to be challenged, and they're not necessarily biblical, they're not necessarily they're not necessarily like rocket science, but they're just basic things where men need to be challenged or reminded. And you took this out of 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, which says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong."
Yeah, and you talked about that verse a few weeks ago on the podcast, and as I was preparing for the men's retreat, I just thought, you know, that phrase, act like men, let's just build out some of the implications of that, because I think there's a lot of meaning packed into that phrase when Paul says to the Corinthian church, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And so I just wanted to build out, fill in the blank like men, you know, act like men. What are all the implications of that? What are all the categories of that? We did 12. There's probably 600 of them. Yep. I was thinking of more on the drive home from the retreat of like, oh man, I could have said that. But, you know, we got to stop somewhere.
Yeah. The first one is work like a man. And so here you talked about, you know, in your vocation, in spiritual disciplines, in the things that you study, work hard.
Yeah, I talked about even how the cultural anthropologists that I've studied acknowledge that, you know, a mark of masculinity in every culture is hard work, that men are always the ones who get tasked with the hardest jobs, and that part of the male spirit, I mean, if you look at our bodies, right, we're made to work. If you look at a woman's body, a little more delicate, a little more tender, made to sustain life, right? Like a woman has breasts because it's made to feed a child, right? And so her womb and her breasts are made to nurture life. A man's body is sort of utilitarian in nature. It's made to carry a load and do work and, you know, lift heavy stuff. So I want men to live into that and begin to work like men. And yeah, we just talked about, man, guys tend to be lazy. Guys can be apathetic. Guys can have all kinds of excuses why they don't want to work, or they shouldn't have to work, or they don't want to do their work with vigor and with intentionality. But we just, men, one implication of living out biblical masculinity is to be a hard worker, be a guy that works hard at his job, be the kind of guy who gets up early, runs into your day, gets going. And I told guys, you know, if you're married and you have young kids, you're going to come home at the end of the day and you got more work to do, right? You got to help you're going to help your wife corral the kids and feed them and put them to bed. I mean, you know, your work doesn't end when the workday ends if you're a dad. And so that's the reality of a lot of men, I think, start to resent that, start to feel like, especially our culture that's always pushing comfort and pleasure and, you know, leisure. It's, you know, you ought to have a whole day to just watch football with your buddies or tailgate or, you know, that kind of thing.
In my man cave.
Yeah, in your man cave. But the reality is, man, that's not what God made us for. God made us to work, and so I wanted to put it before the guys. Hey, one of the things we need to do is work like men.
Yeah, and then the second one is rest like a man.
Rest like a man.
That's right.
Take initiative for resting. I made it clear, resting like a man is not laying in front of the TV or getting lost on your social media, pulling out your phone.
You don't mean like be lazy?
Yeah, I don't mean pull out your phone and just sort of go inward. I do mean take initiative and responsibility to create rhythms of rest for your family. Man, times when you're having fun together, going on vacations, doing things, you know, going to the park, doing stuff that's just fun and relaxed and that cultivates a spirit of playfulness and of relaxation and of rest. And if you're a single guy, all right, so you don't have a family to create a rhythm of rest for, but it's significantly important for your soul that you create rhythms of Sabbath rest, you know, shutting off from work and from distraction and just, you know, taking a nap, reading a book, those kinds of things that are very refueling to the soul.
You also tied in health with this, resting like a man.
Yeah, I said that most guys are workaholics and they end up burning themselves out simply because they don't rest, you know? And so the reality is you can't sustain a pace of hard work without rest. That's why God said 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, and the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, because that actually is what it takes for you to sleep well, for you to, you know, to maintain a tenacious pace in life. You have to rest. And if you don't, I mean, I know so many guys, especially pastors, who work themselves dead, and man, they start having adrenal gland failure. They start not losing sleep. They start, you know, they drink whiskey at night to fall asleep. Those kinds of, I mean, they get into other addictions because they're just so burned out because they haven't taken responsibility to rest like a man.
Yeah. And culture doesn't push rest, and most, you know, most desk jobs now can go home with you, and so
culture pushes distraction. So yeah. So you know, it's fine to check your fantasy football lineup at work. That's distraction, not rest. You know, rest is a different rhythm entirely, where it's time that's set aside simply for playfulness, recreation, rest, solitude, and soul care.
And then the next one was talk like a man, and this one was I think is really key. And you talked about how not being a wimpy man, basically, in your language and in all areas of talking.
Yeah, man. I there's a lot of dudes that just are too into their feelings, you know. And
hold on, you just hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry, Dusty. Will you forgive me?
Stop being a pansy, Dusty.
Seriously. Talk like a man. No, I said, look, guys, there's a way that guys talk to each other, and it has frankness and directness as central to it. And sincerity. Guys, you know, the adage, say what you mean and mean what you say, is essential to masculinity. It's just guys ought to say straightforwardly what they need to say and be able to speak directly with one another, not harshly, not meanly, not rudely, but directly. And so I give a couple examples. I know some guys who will talk for 30 minutes to say something they could say in 5 minutes because they just frame it out with like, and well, I don't know if you guys know, but sort of like this and kind of like that, you know, instead of just talking directly. And then there's other guys who are, you know, they're oversensitive and they easily get their feelings hurt. And so if a guy just says, hey, why were you late today? You know, or hey, let's talk about, you didn't show up last week. How come? You know, they're like, well, dude, why are you getting in my face? I'm not getting in your face. I'm asking you a question. I had a question mark at the end. It's just a frank, direct, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. Let's just have a frank conversation. So I'm trying to press men especially to take responsibility to communicate with a sense of directness and frankness and clarity, because that's part of how men ought to speak and should speak. And if you look back, I was telling the guys I've been reading Homer, you know, a poem that was written in 700 BC in Greek culture, and the speeches in Homer are guys just speaking very frankly and directly with a sense of challenge to one another, you know, and they provoke one another. And sort of that sarcastic, challenging, provoking sort of humor is a core hallmark of masculinity going back thousands and thousands of years. And so even sort of the sort of, you know, the ways that guys challenge each other, like, I bet you can't throw a football over that mountain over there, you know, that kind of thing, that's masculine talk. That's how men talk to one another.
And then love like a man, also known as rub some dirt in it.
Rub some dirt in it. Love. Yeah. There's a masculine kind of love and there's a feminine kind of love. A feminine kind of love is again, more nurturing, more gentle, more of a, hey, come over here. Let me hug you. Let me, you know, let me console you. A masculine kind of love is more like, hey, you'll be fine. Rub some dirt on it. Get back out there. You know, it's like what your coach has said to you, what your dad said to you, what your uncle said to you. It's, you know, when you fell down on your bike and you were 5 years old, you wanted to go to your mom, because she would hug you. Your dad would be like, hey man, get up. You're fine. You know, get back on that bike. And so that's a masculine kind of love. And men need to learn to love like men. And then let their female counterparts love like women, so that again, the love that we're displaying to our kids or to our friends or to our community is a full and robust picture of the image of God.
Yeah. At my house, I say, hey, no blood, no Band-Aid. And then my wife says, wait a minute, Band-Aids are cheap. Slap a Band-Aid on it. You know, your line there that I wrote down a couple weeks ago was, men go to war for the same reason that women breastfeed, to nurture and protect. And so it's the same thing. Accomplished through different genders. And then fifth, dress like a man.
Dress like a man. Hey, I got after the dudes here. I said, there's a different, not, what I mean by this is, dress like a man, not like a woman, and not like a boy. All right, so the fashion industry is sort of pressing a sort of unisex fashion. And I said, hey guys, you're free to have whatever your personal fashion is. There's all kinds of expressions of fashion, but be masculine. I should be able to look at you and know you're a man, not a woman by how you dress. But that's less of a problem in Coramdale. More the problem is guys dressing like boys. And so I use the example of, you know, my younger son who grabs his crumpled up shirt off the floor and throws it on and pulls some shorts out of the dirty laundry and puts them on and throws flip-flops on and calls himself dressed. And for him, that's a win. He has clothes on. Yeah, but I said, guys, if you're 25 and that's you, that's a win for you. That's not a win. Like you need to learn to dress like a man. So man, you need a suit that you can wear to a wedding and a funeral. You need to know how to, you know, you need to know some basic things about how do you get a shirt that fits you? How do you buy a nice pair of shoes? Like there's just some basic rules of men's fashion that have been, you know, since our grandfathers and great grandfathers, the core sort of hallmarks of how men dress. And there's, you know, the sad thing is there's guys who haven't had good fathers to teach them this stuff, and that's okay. If you don't have categories for this, I use the example of, man, I got some women in Coramdale that I know are good with fashion, and I call them up and like, hey, does this look okay? I mean, I went shopping for Easter this year, and I was texting a couple of my friends in Coramdale and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Should I get this tie or this one? You know, and so you need to ask for help if you need help. But either way, you need to learn to dress like a man. I got a friend named Leonce down in Atlanta, and he says, just throw this out. He says, flip-flops are only for water recreation. if you're in the city, you wear shoes. Yeah. So I didn't go quite that far with guys, but I like Leonce knows how to dress, yeah, so I take some cues from him.
He's a sharp dresser, man.
You can only pull those off if you live in Santa Cruz. That's
exactly.
Your zip code. And then you got after submission. And you said submit like a man, which is an interesting one, because if I am a man, and especially if I'm a husband, there's even scripture that tells me that people, especially my wife, should be submitting to me. So what's it look like to submit like a man?
Yeah, no man is an authority unto himself, right? We're all under the authority of God, and we should be under the authority of local church elders. We should be submitted to authorities that are over us. And so I use an example here of the men who are in the military in Coramdale, who I deeply respect, because those guys are all, you know, good masculine men, but they also understand chain of command. They understand there's some guy with a higher rank than me. I might not like him. I might not agree with him. I might not think he's the greatest guy, but at the end of the day, he pulls rank on me. And so I submit to him. And that's a good basic model for a guy to have. That's why guys who go into the military generally come out, you know, being okay working a job after that, because they're not guys who can't get along with their boss. They have an appropriate respect for authority. And so I told the guys at the retreat, man, not every authority that you're under is going to be a perfect authority, a good authority, even a respectable authority. But the fact that it's an authority, whether it's a boss, a father, a military officer, even an elder in the church, those guys are never perfect, but they are authorities. And so, yeah, part of masculinity is learning to submit like a man and stop being the guy who tries to avoid authority, the guy who undermines authority, the guy who disrespects authority, but rather be the guy who submits to authority. And then if you have a problem with that authority, go talk like a man to him, you know, and sort out what the problems are. That's part of learning to be a masculine man.
Worship like a man. And here you talked about cultivating the culture of worship in a local church and how men should be leading out in that regard. I took that as my wife shouldn't be leading me in worship at our local church, right? Like I should be leading out and helping cultivate worship.
We had some great times of worship on this men's retreat of dudes just singing loudly and enjoying it. And yeah, I just said, guys, the women should not be leading our church in worship. We should be leading our church in worship. And so, yeah, that just means expressiveness and connectedness and being engaged and being present and singing loudly and having a sense of vitality. Again, this is not an either or thing. It's not that men and not women should be doing this. It's just guys tend to be passive in this area. There's a lot of guys that kind of show up and they have their arms crossed and they're kind of, you know, I don't want to sing real loud. I don't have a great voice. Well, hey man, lead out, you know, worship like a man.
Pray like a man.
Yeah, I said, let's pray like men. And, you know, if you think about, again, the core values that tend to be, and again, this isn't stereotyping, but just it tends to be that that women tend to value things like more security-oriented values, and men tend to value more risk-oriented values. And so I said, men, when we pray, number one, let's lead in prayer. Let's take initiative to lead our church in the work of prayer. But let's make sure that our prayers are big, kingdom-advancing, risk-taking kinds of prayers. You know, guys, the last thing that should happen if men are leading a prayer meeting is we spend all our time praying for Aunt Edna and, you know, her bunion on her foot. And I mean, what, you know, those are great things to pray for, but should I back? You didn't like that.
That's fine.
Mike keep, almost.
You just cut out the bunion Mike on her foot part. You could stop after Aunt
it's
Edna.
All good. Just keep going.
But we should be praying for big kingdom advancing, you know, gospel movement kinds of things. And so let's apply our outward focus, our sort of visionary tendencies to prayer. And let's be praying for the kingdom to go forward and for churches to be planted and for non-Christians to be getting saved and for dark parts of our city to be made light by the gospel. Let's apply our leadership to those kinds of prayers.
And at home, I should be, as a man, leading out the prayer times at my household. I shouldn't always be having to rely on my children or my wife or somebody else.
Yeah, man. Your kids ought to see you pray and know that you are a praying man.
Your kids will pray if you pray, if you lead them into prayer. Kill your sin like a man was the next one that you talked about. So you're basically saying, hey, man, get aggressive about your sin. You quoted John Owen, be killing sin or sin will be killing you.
Yeah. And I said, you know, if you look again at masculinity across cultures, right, men are generally in cultures the ones who go to war. Now, again, we live in a day and age where that's not exclusive, and now women go to war as well. But for the most part, the majority of people who die in war are men because men know how to kill, right? Men learn how to use their aggression in protective ways to kill threats. And so I said, guys, let's train that same aggression, that same tendency to killing our sin. Guys spend hours playing video games to fake kill some fake enemy that doesn't really exist, and then they'll go look at porn. You know, I'm like, how about we kill our sin? How about instead of killing that fake zombie on the video game, you apply that aggression and that level of violent fighting against your sin, man? And John Owen's Mortification of Sin is great on this. There's other books that have been written that are great on this. But I just said, guys, I want us to get serious about stop making excuses for your sin. Stop making friends with your sin. Stop, dancing around the reality of your sin. Let's start killing our sin and killing it aggressively. Kill your sin like a man.
And men are to be pursuing holiness like men.
Yeah, that's the other side of that killing sin, you know, is just saying let's actively pursue holiness. Let's actively get after aggressively becoming guys who are holy. And one of my frustrations just as a leader is that I feel like people love to embrace the forgiveness aspect of the gospel. You know, Jesus loves me even though I'm a sinner. You know, they get that part and they're good at embracing that. They're not as good at embracing the freedom aspect of the gospel that says, now I need to go pursue holiness. I want to be a different kind of a guy a year from now than I am now. I want to be more holy, more sanctified, more set apart, more pursuing of God, more marked by virtue. And so, let's pursue holiness like men. Let's apply aggression and forcefulness and initiative and responsibility in the area of holiness.
Just like I pursue my work or my hobbies or whatever else, I should be pursuing holiness. And then you encourage the men to serve the church like men.
Yeah. And specifically, I said, man, guys, when there's an opportunity to serve, if it's on the production team or setting up or doing children's ministry, I don't ever want women to be the first to volunteer. Now, we need hundreds of women volunteering in our church to make it go, but I want guys taking the lead. I want guys to do what God made them do, which is to take initiative. And so I don't want guys to be passive. And I think there is this serving the church. Guys, because we tend to be self-centered, generally serve in ways that serve us. You know, so like I'll serve my neighbor because he'll invite me over to watch the game on his TV and he has channels that I don't have, you know, that kind of thing where it's like, ultimately a self-serving kind of a approach. And part of death to self and coming alive to holiness is, man, I want to serve God's people and God's church and God's kingdom. I want to pour myself out for that. I want to give myself to that. And so I just want to call guys to serve the church like men, to take the lead in that, to not let your church suffer and flounder. Whatever church you're in, wherever you are listening to this, whether you're a part of our church or another church, man, take responsibility to serve your church and make it thrive.
And that doesn't have to be necessarily in my gifting. If it is in my gifting, awesome. That's a win-win. But you know what? Stacking chairs, sweeping the floor, you know, doing stuff, taking out the garbage, that stuff all needs to get done. And that's stuff that men should be doing, right?
Yeah. And, you know, gifting is a great excuse for, I'm not gifted in that. Well,
I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
In order to serve the church.
I wasn't gifted in mowing the lawn either, but my dad made me do it every week.
And then the last one was, that you encouraged the men towards a couple weeks ago, was put others first like a man.
Yeah, and this is just basic. You know, the next verse in 1 Corinthians 16 is let all that you do be done in love. And so this sense of putting others first. And again, I'm trying to get at the tendency that we have even to go after these masculine things in a selfish way, in a self-serving way, in a way that ultimately sort of gets me something for it. And I just said, I want us to be the kind of people who put others first. And that means, man, selflessness. That means laying down my life for others. That means when I think about protection, I'm not just protecting my family, but I'm protecting others and their families. So like, you know, I think about dudes that serve on our security team, you know, protecting the whole flock from risk, right? That's important. I mean, those kinds of things that are putting others first and being the kind of men who die to ourselves and just like Jesus, who advance others before ourselves, who hold others up above ourselves and who give ourselves so that others can thrive. And this is just basic masculinity and basic godliness. And yet, even though it's basic, man, sin has twisted us in ways that make that really challenging sometimes. Yeah. So, like I said, these are 12. We could have done 15 or 30 or 90. And I'm sure there are others that we could say, but these are just some implications of what does it mean to act like men? What does it mean for us as men to begin to take responsibility, to take initiative, and to be protectors in clear and tangible ways? And so I wanted to leave the guys with a number of things to think through. And I kind of encourage them, hey, grab one or two of these that are just a clear action point for you where you just know, yep, I got some work to do here, and start taking a crack at that. And then when you see some progress in that one, you know, move on to another one. And I wanted to encourage the men. I want to encourage the men listening to this podcast that this stuff doesn't change overnight. You know, it's not like these virtues begin to kick in overnight, but through faithful, you know, long obedience in the same direction as Eugene Peterson's phrase, through just faithful obedience and faithful discipline in these areas, you begin to develop a more godly and Christ-like masculinity that I think is a beautiful reflection of the gospel and that speaks well of how God redeems men and restores them to true manhood. What I would love is for the church to be a place where the men are men and where the women are women, and we're together, that's a beautiful picture to our culture of, oh man, I think that's what we're supposed to be like. You know, I think those guys seem to me like what a man should be like. Those women seem to me like what a woman should be like. And that in a culture that's utterly confused about what it means to be male and female, what it means to be a man or a woman, the church would be a place where people go, oh yeah, I think they got something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we're talking about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to join the conversation or suggest conversation topics by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.
Now, Mike, upload this podcast like a man.